This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of The Zeoli Show. Do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and tell your friends. Either that or I'll leave to become President Trump's chief of staff. Thanks for listening.
Rich Zeoli Show Podcast.
The president says, fine, the State of the Union address won't happen in the House of Representatives, but we'll do something else. What should he do? Welcome back. The State of the Union address canceled. But not really canceled. Welcome back. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and 1210WPHG.com/Rich. Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. Z-E-O-L-I Show. Mark asks me on Twitter, why are we discussing where the SOTU is going to be held? Is the vampiric one the only person with keys to the building? I thought the Capitol was owned by we the people. 2 points, Mark. Number one, I think person is a stretch for the vampiric one, but I'll go with it for a second. Yes, we do own the Capitol building, but the Speaker of the House, incredibly powerful, has a lot of power in terms of calling the House into session and deciding who gets to speak and whatnot. And look, the president could go, right? He could show up to the House and they could have a standoff between the sergeant at arms and the Capitol Police and the Secret Service. But technically, as Speaker, if the Democrats go along with it, he would be in violation of the House rules if he tries to speak. Now, I mean, he can speak from the House floor, but then she says, bangs the gavel and says, you're out of order. It becomes a mess. And, we could go back and forth and figure out who wins in that scenario. I think the president just doesn't want to deal with that nonsense. I think he just doesn't want to show up at the Capitol building, walk into the House of Representatives, which is his right to be on the floor, by the way. He's got the right to be on the floor. He doesn't have the right to speak at the dais, but he has the right to be there. He could start talking, and then in which case she could order the lights turned off and she could order the cameras turned off and everybody could turn on their flashlights on their phones and they could start filming it. I mean, there's lots of different ways to go. I think the president just doesn't want to look like he is coming down to her level in that sense and playing sandbox games. And I don't blame him, by the way. I don't blame him. Because as much as I think it'd be funny as hell, I really do. I think the president got out of the limo and walked into the House, and she's up there at the podium. She's like, House is adjourned. And starts banging the gavel. And he says, I'm here to give the State of the Union address. And she goes, turn the lights off. And then all the Republicans turn their phones on and light up the room, lighters or something like that, like a Springsteen concert. And then he just starts talking, maybe hysterical. And then she's like, hey, Sergeant at Arms, escort that man out of my chamber. And then they try to do it, and the Secret Service starts fighting the Sergeant at Arms, and then Capitol Police show up, and it's an old-fashioned standoff. But that's all fun and good, but it looks like a mess. And I think the president, wisely so, doesn't want to reduce himself to the level of antics that the House of Representatives is so often associated with. Remember, the House throwing out the president is nothing new. It happened in Washington's time when he came to Congress and they said, what are you doing here? Get out. You're not a member of this body. Get out of here. So it's the question though becomes is, does he want to go in and deal with that nonsense? And I think he doesn't. So he said, it's canceled. We'll do something else. So now it becomes, what is that something else? Now you go to the Senate. Right, a couple options. You go to this. I am of the opinion it has to be official. I know everybody's suggesting great suggestions, like do it in front of Nancy Pelosi's wall outside of her house and her white, her white community. Bo from Levittown suggested that in an email to me. Yeah, I get it. It's fun. It's funny. Doing it on the border wall has significance. But if it's not an official government event, you give the media the opportunity to not cover it. That's my concern, because as much as we all watch Fox News and all the other cable shows, a lot of Americans don't. That's why when the president asked for time, millions of people who otherwise would not have seen him give the speech from the Oval Office saw it, because they would otherwise be watching their shows on CBS, NBC, or ABC. I know it's remarkable to think about, but people still watch broadcast television. I know. I'm shocked by it. I genuinely am. But because I don't really. I watch, This Is Us on NBC. That's about it. I don't really watch a lot of broadcast shows, but a lot of people do, and a lot of people don't have cable. And a lot of people who have cable don't even know they have cable or wouldn't even know where to find Fox News or NBC or, CNBC or something. That's why you do it with the networks giving him time. You don't want to, you don't want it to turn into just Fox News covering it, because then it's not a State of the Union address anymore. Then it's just a speech. And it's just a speech. Now, the Constitution only requires the president to, from time to time, let Congress know how things are going. He could just send a letter, he could send an email. But again, I don't want him surrendering what has been the grandeur of the speech, even though I hate States of the Union addresses. I do. I don't like them. I've long said that they're well past their prime. It's a show. The clapping, the sitting, it's boring as hell. But that's for another time. In other words, if you want to get rid of it, I'm okay with it, but you can't do it now. You can't let her win. You can't let the vampiric one win. So you 100% have to do it. I'm sorry, but you got to do it. If you do it now, then next year you want to scrap it because you think it's a waste of time and money, fine. I'm okay with that. But right now, you got to do it. So where do you do it? I think the only two options that exist are United States Senate building or another government building. Doesn't have to be federal, could be state. That's why I've said a state capitol could work. You know, if the Pennsylvania legislature invites the president to speak from their chamber. Michigan has extended the offer. I believe another state has as well. Kentucky, one of the Carolinas, I think. Well, then the president could be in an official government building doing an official government address. And I think it's a lot tougher for ABC, NBC, and CBS to not cover it. He could also do it from a federal building. You know, he could do it in front of Independence Mall. He could do it something the federal government owns. The problem with that, though, is that these are shut down, technically speaking, and, you know, it could look bad if he's in front of a building or in a building that's technically closed to the public right now. It could be a little bit of the, you know, guy in a beach chair on a beach that's closed to you and me, and I don't think he wants to do that either. So I think you're left with two options. I think you're left with the United States Senate. Have Mitch convene it. The Democrats won't show up. What are you going to do? Do it from there or do it from a state capitol. I like the state capitol idea only because I think that we forget sometimes in this country that the states created the federal government, not the other way around. There's a little symbolism there that I enjoy. 855-839-1210. Bob is in Brigantine. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm well, Rich. And hold the bus. Here's where we're going to go with this. We're going to Pennsylvania. We got coal country out here that's getting a big boon, and we're going to Hershey. We're going to have it at the Hershey Arena, and we're going to have the entire Covington School District come out and ride the rides all day.
Well, that's good. I like it. It's the park's closed right now, though.
But it's not. Not to the president.
No, I think Hershey Park is literally closed until the spring, I mean.
I don't believe so.
I don't know. When I was up there, they told me. I'm mad then if that's the case because I went up there with the kids and they said it was closed. So I hope it's.
Then I may be wrong. But if the president wants to come out with the Covington School District, I bet they'll open it.
They probably will open it. The problem again with the Hershey Arena is that I think it's just then going to be perceived as a political speech.
I understand that. However,
Do a big speech at the Hershey Arena. I'm all for these big rallies and everything, but that's not the State of the Union address, you know?
Yeah, but we're going to make our address another way, Rich. We're going to use military aircraft, and if you show up at Andrews Air Field Base with a photo ID and a Republican voter registration card, they fly out to Hershey in military aircraft, which they'll also use to pick up the kids in Kentucky. Yeah. Now we're making a statement.
That's fine. I'm saying you do that, but that's not an alternative to doing the State of the Union address.
All right.
It's got to be official. If you do it at Andrews Air Force Base, now that's different, because now you're doing something official. You do it at a military base.
You can start it there.
What's that?
You can start it there.
You can start it there. I do like the idea of everybody going on the rides. That's for sure. I always do love that. Bob, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. You could do it on a boat. Like a big one, like a Navy ship or something like that. That'd be pretty cool. It just has to be official, in my opinion. I think anything outside of that, it gives them the excuse of saying this is just another campaign rally. And quite frankly, the president can still do that. You know, there's no reason why he can't also do that. You know, do a big rally at Hershey, do a big speech somewhere else, but don't give up the government address, is my point. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Could do both. But if you just do the campaign style rally, it's a totally different thing. And That's why, if you want to do that, do it. But then do it after the address as a big follow-up to the address. Anthony's in Doylestown. Anthony, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you, Rich. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
I agree with the proposal to have it at a state house, maybe in the heartland of the country, get him out of Washington to show that he's the people's president. But I do have a question. Can he say to Nancy Pelosi, fine, you're going to shut me out of the State of the Union speech, then you don't get to have the Democratic response afterwards? Is that a possibility? Because they do offer that as a courtesy to the other side. Mm-hmm. I know it's tradition, but is it an entitlement? Is it something that they're entitled to, or something that they can be, just say, fine, no speech, no response when I give it?
But what if she says, well, I'm giving a response?
See, I don't know the protocol there. Can you know, is that something that's just afforded to them automatically, or like the other side always gets a Democratic response or a Republican response? Or is it something that, well, if it's not going to be an official State of the Union speech or we're going to do some other format, well, then maybe we don't have to have a Democratic response. I just don't know how that works. I just wanted to put it out there.
It's a great question, man. I think that... you can't stop somebody from giving a speech, right? And the question then would be, would the networks cover it? Would they consider it to be the official Democrat response? Who knows, right? The problem is that, you know, for these Democrats, a lot of them, like even after the president's Oval Office address, the official response was Chuck and Nancy, Count Chuckula and the vampiric ones standing there. But they also had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez gave a response on Instagram or something. Bernie Sanders did it on Facebook. So you can't really stop that from happening, you know? But they would look hypocritical, in my opinion. They would look hypocritical if they said the State of the Union address is not happening, but we're giving a Democrat response. They would look like giant hypocrites.
Yes, they would, absolutely.
No doubt. All right, brother, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
855-839-1210. Frank in Sin City. What's up, Frank?
Hey, how's it going, Rich?
Good.
Hey, Rich, I was thinking, you know, even though you kind of shot me down there, what you said, it's, because of the shutdown, but what about Ellis Island and or the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
To do the State of the Union kind of sets a point about legal immigration and what we've gone through in our past and versus the illegal immigration that's going on at our border.
Yeah, you know, Reagan gave a big speech there years ago, not a State of the Union address, but he gave a really big speech when he was president at the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. It was great. It's great. Very symbolic.
And it's a secure place, and you think it would be hard for them to allow him to have the State of the Union right there in New York City and just ignore it?
No, definitely not. It would be outside, so you run the risk of weather, and then you run the risk of people saying, oh, he's using a building that's closed to me and you. But so you run that risk.
Exactly. But
I do like the semblance of it, this symbolism. Yes, symbolism of it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That just doesn't have to be. It can do the State of the Union, but, you know, point out a few facts on the other side that people came here to assimilate and work in this country and become part of the country as opposed to people just trying to jump the border.
I like it. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Excellent suggestions by the Zeoli Army. Excellent suggestions. By the way, we have some other audio here. We have, let's see here now. The Lesser Cuomo Friday night. I didn't get a chance to play this, but the Lesser Cuomo Friday night was very upset that Mueller came out and issued his statement about the BuzzFeed article. I love this. So the Lesser commented on his low-rated CNN show, cut 11.
Mueller didn't do the media any favors tonight, and he did do the president one. Because as you saw with Rudy Giuliani, and as I'm sure you'll see with the president himself, this allows them to say, you can't believe it. You can't believe what you read. You can't believe what you hear. You can only believe us. Even the special counsel says that the media doesn't get it right.
There you go. Mueller didn't do you guys any favors, huh, Lesser? Aw, that's a shame. So then the real question then becomes, if Mueller doesn't give you any favors by issuing a report that doesn't say the president colluded with Russia, then what happens? Byron York at the Washington Examiner wrote a great piece on this today, and he made the point of saying, if Mueller doesn't deliver, what happens? Adam Schiff, Democrat Adam Schiff, the chairman of one of the House committees, he's already said, if Mueller's report doesn't give us what we want, we're going to keep investigating. They're going to keep coming and coming and coming until they find something. That is the truth right there. That is the fact. So while Mueller didn't do them any favors, he may not do them any favors in the future. And that's the real truth of the matter is the Democrats won't ever give up, nor will the media, by the way. The day is flying by. You know why? Once again, Dawn, news breaking during the show. Throws everything off the rails.
Throws it off.
Everything's off the rails.
President decides, you know, I think he says, oh, is he only on? Yep, we got to come on. Let's have a little news conference.
Let's help him out.
Impromptu. This is for you, Zioli.
This is the least we can do. It's very nice of you. Thank you, Mr. President. So Michael Cohen is not testifying before Congress. Did you hear that?
Yes.
He's delayed his testimony. Yeah. He's afraid.
He's afraid.
So
that's if you lie, right? It's different than if you lie to the media. If you lie to Congress, you're under oath, right?
You are.
That's a you can be criminally prosecuted for that.
You could. Yeah, you could. Absolutely. And Michael Cohen, of course, may not have anything to say. Right. So, I mean, there's the other problem, too, is that he may not have anything to offer. Michael Cohen, this whole thing may have just been a bluff, you know. Well, he says he's afraid for his security, but his life. But he's been out there tweeting all the time, hasn't he?
Yes.
Constantly tweeting, walking around New York, tweeting, going on shows. I think he's been on TV. He's done radio interviews. Not this one, of course, but he's been to other things.
Yes.
Now he's suddenly afraid. Now he's afraid.
Yeah.
Right. He's before Congress. This reminds me, Dawn, of a favorite scene in Godfather Part II when Frank Pantangeli's brother from Sicily, just there, just being there, Dawn, just being in the room is enough to get Frankie Five Angels not to testify before the U.S. Congress.
Will he come forward and be sworn, sir?
Sir, this man does not understand English. He came at his own expense to aid his brother in his time of trouble. He's not under subpoena, and his reputation in his own country is impeccable.
Are you saying he knows nothing about these matters?
To my knowledge, nothing.
I'm going to find out what the hell happened here. All right, this committee is now adjourned. The witness is excused.
Senator! Senator! This committee owes an apology! Jesus. This committee owes an apology! Apology, Senator!
I love that.
Is that what Michael Cohen will do? I speak no English.
Yeah. Well, what happened is one of Cohen's relatives from the old country just sit there in the back, just stare him down. This committee owes my client an apology, Senator. Now, the kids from Covington, still in the news today. Still in the news, obviously. Big news. And we have some audio from the Today Show, Nick Sandman, who's the kid with the, as they say, with the smirk, as they talk about. So she was on, he was on with Savannah Guthrie on NBC News. And we have some audio of this today. He was actually asked about the black Israelites.
Yes.
Believe it or not, she actually asked him about this. Cut number six.
Sandman and dozens of his classmates had just finished attending an anti-abortion March for Life rally when they converged with five Hebrew Israelites, a radical movement that is growing more militant, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
They started shouting a bunch of homophobic, racist, derogatory comments at us.
What kinds of things did you hear them say?
I heard them call us incest kids, bigots, racists. They call us
a bunch of incest babies, a bunch of child molesting.
Did you feel threatened at all?
I definitely felt threatened.
There were more of you than them, but you felt like they were stronger?
They were a group of adults, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen next.
It's unclear from the videos who actually started the confrontation. Each side believes it was the first to be taunted. Sandman says his chaperone gave students permission to shout school chants, an attempt, he says, to drown out the Hebrew Israelites. Do you think it was a good idea to start chanting back at the protesters?
Stop it for a second. Do you notice the contradiction there?
Yes.
So Savannah Guthrie says it's unclear who started it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asks him in a follow-up, do you think it was a good idea to chant back?
Yep.
So if you're chanting back to somebody, it's clear that they started it, right?
It's all on video.
Yeah. But the question, she admits it, though, because she says, oh, it's unclear who started it. And then she goes, do you think it was a good idea to chant back? Well, if you're chanting back, that means they started it. Right. Obviously. Right.
Yes.
Why would you chant back if they didn't start chanting? Then you would be chanting. You wouldn't be chanting back. You'd be chanting first. To chant back would be, all right, let's do it like this. Somebody calls you fat. You call them fat. You say, do you think it was a good idea to call them fat back? Right. But that means that they started it. Right?
Yep.
Am I missing something here?
Nope.
I'm not missing anything, am I?
Nope.
That's how that works. It's like if somebody says to you an insult and you go, I know you are, but what am I? And you say to them, do you think it was a good idea to say, I know you are, but what am I? You only would say that if somebody started it, right?
Yep.
So you'd only respond if somebody started it. So her point about it, unclear who started it, then why did you ask that question, Savannah?
To start chanting back at the protesters.
In hindsight, I wish we had just found another spot to wait for our buses. But at the time, being positive seemed better than letting them slander us with all of these things. So I wish we could have walked away.
Did anyone shout any insults back or any racial slurs back at the group?
We're a Catholic school and it's not tolerated. They don't tolerate racism, and none of my classmates are racist people.
Did anyone say build the wall?
I never heard anyone say build the wall, and I don't think I've seen it in any videos.
By the way, build the wall. When did build the wall become racist? When did that become a racist insult? I'm curious about that.
Right. Her line of questioning is very telltale and fascinating to me because these were a group of minors. These are children by the law who were threatened and taunted by, as he said, grown-ups who were pretty overt and emotional and kind of scary dudes in these kids' faces. And the video is Greg Stocker said, you know, he won't ever get that whatever hour and a half back from his life. This video was pretty clear as to what was going on. So her line of questioning, I just think, you know, is very telltale to me.
She's playing up a point the left makes, which is the term build the wall is racist.
Right.
Right. So if that's the case, then if they had said border security now, would that also be racist? If they had said hire more Border Patrol agents, would that be racist? I'm just trying to understand what is. So then is all of it racist or just the wall, in her opinion? And why would you say that? First of all, if you said that to Native Americans, if you looked at a Native American and said in his face, build the wall. You wouldn't be keeping out Native Americans. They were here first. I think they'd be going. In hindsight, we should have.
Build the wall to keep you crazy people out.
Yeah, right. Go back in the 1600s. We should have built a friggin' wall to keep you people out.
Yes, we should have.
Yeah, we should have.
We didn't die of the measles.
That's what they always say, right?
Yes.
They always say we came here and killed all of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, they should have had a wall, theoretically speaking. So would that be racist? I get confused by all this. You know, he's asked about his quote-unquote smirk, Dawn, his smirk. And he was also confused about Nathan Phillips' motive. Nathan Phillips is the indigenous person. Cut number 7.
The center of the firestorm, what critics care.
At first, we were unsure of whether he was trying to join in and drum to our chants or what he was doing.
Did you feel like he was trying to get somewhere else to go toward the Lincoln Memorial?
I'm not sure where he wanted to go. And if he wanted to walk past me, I would have let him go.
In that moment, he's looking at you, you're looking at him. What's going through your mind?
I wanted the situation to die down, and I just wish she would have walked away. But I knew as long as I kept my composure and didn't do anything that he might perceive as aggressive or elevation of the conflict, that it would hopefully die.
Why didn't you walk away?
Well, now I wish I would have walked away. I didn't want to be disrespectful to Mr. Phillips and walk away if he was trying to talk to me. But I was surrounded by a lot of people I didn't know that had their phones out, had cameras, and I didn't want to bump into anyone or seem like I was trying to do something.
See, pretty respectful kid, right? He didn't want to be disrespectful to Mr. Phillips and walk away from him. That's pretty remarkable, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. And keep in mind, they were corralled there by the chaperones, who I'm critical of.
The chaperones.
But they were corralled there and said, hey, kids, stand here. And they're pretty close together because they're in a certain area that's a rally point to catch their bus to go back. Remember, this was like a school field trip.
But he, you know, but for him to show that respect to somebody yelling in his face says a lot about his character. A lot about his character.
Yes.
So a lot of other people would have either walked away or told him to go, you know, screw himself. I mean, again, the kid's very polite because I don't think I would have just stood there and been respectful to him. I probably would have said something like, you know, keep banging that drum in my face. It's going to be up your indigenous, you know what? But that's what I mean. This kid's a very respectful young man. He wanted, yes. He didn't want to disrespect him by walking away.
Right. But he's being put on trial by a national broadcast company. And he's being put on trial. And these are questions that are not friendly to him. And even you could tell from the beginning when she says he was there for an anti-abortion thing. Was he? Ask him, what were you there for? He would say, I was there for a pro-life Catholic rally.
Right.
So her wording right from the beginning is biased.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, there's no question she's biased. I just think he does a great job of showing his character here. I really do. Great job. I mean, this is a very respectful young man.
Yes.
Good kid. I mean, I would be thrilled if my son handled himself in this manner and confronted like that. I would.
Yeah. What is he, 16?
Although part of me would have liked him to knock the guy's clock out with that drum. Shove it up his indigenous ass, but dump that, Greg. But that wouldn't be very respectful, you see.
No, you're right. He's handling himself very well for tough questions.
She asked him, do you think you owe anyone an apology? Cut number five.
Do you feel from this experience that you owe anybody an apology? Do you see your own fault in any way?
As far as standing there, I had every right to do so. My position is that I was not disrespectful to Mr. Phillips. I respect him. I'd like to talk to him. I mean, in hindsight, I wish we could have walked away and avoided the whole thing. But I say that I'm sorry for listening to him and standing there.
You know what? He also could have turned around and said, I wasn't going to walk away. Why would I walk away? The president today saying that the State of the Union address is canceled in the House. But it is they're going to do something different, and I'm glad they're going to do something different. So the question is, what will he do? Some other clips for you today. Let's see here now. Yes. A lot of things in the news. First of all, and this is key point here right now. CNN, Angela Rye, MAGA hats. I say MAGA because they make America great. So MAGA would be how I would say it. Make America great again. So MAGA. MAGA wouldn't work. You didn't say, I think America, you'd say America. So that's why I say MAGA. But I guess you can go either way. Anyway, so CNN's Angela Rye, cut 13.
Forget Donald Trump for a moment and just think about the symbol of that red hat. When I see the Make America Great Again hat now, Chris, I am triggered. I'm so triggered.
Yeah.
Andre, I think in a lot of ways our friendship has been compromised by the fact that you continue to support this man. But this Make America Great Again hat is just as maddening and frustrating and triggering for me to look at as a KKK hood.
Boom!
Like, that is the type of hatred that
his
policies represent. And until we can have common ground and understanding about that, that it's that triggering, we're going to continue to have problems.
Triggering. The hat is a trigger.
So stupid.
Like a KKK hood.
Triggering.
A triggering. Triggering.
Poor baby.
But she's not alone. MSNBC contributor Eddie Glaude Jr., also triggered by this. He's a Princeton University professor. And who says colleges are about indoctrination, huh? Cut 15.
Do we think that the same reaction would have been had on both sides if he weren't wearing that hat?
Probably not. There was a sense in which the hat announced a certain set of political commitments. Alyssa Milano, I think the actress, describes the hat as the modern day white sheet. I think that's how she described it. The hat in some ways represents for many of us a kind of racial animus. Make America Great Again is a kind of nostalgic longing for the 1950s, not by way of public policy, Craig, but by way of the cultural ethos of the 50s, which meant a society organized along the lines of segregation in which black people were to stay in their place, brown people were to stay in their place, and white people were to be treated and valued differently according to the color of their skin.
Sorry, I dozed off there for a second.
So boring.
That was so boring.
Oh, God.
Sorry about that.
Oh, jeez.
I literally dozed off. I literally took a nap right there during that. No idea what the hell you guys are talking
Power
about.
Power nap.
Just gave it. Imagine that guy in class. Everybody would fall asleep in that guy's class. It's terrible.
Well, I'm amazed that they're not bashing NBC News that employed this racist guy for decades with his number one show, The Apprentice. Such a racist.
Well, he wasn't back then, though.
Oh.
He only became a racist when he announced he was running for president as a Republican, you see.
Oh. Yeah.
He wasn't a racist when he was sending them checks, either, the Democrats, when they were cashing it. The president today responded about Michael Cohen, whether or not he's worried about Michael Cohen. Cut 17.
Michael Cohen testimony. He says he's been threatened by you and Mr. Giuliani. He and his family have been threatened.
No, I would say he's been threatened by the truth. He's only been threatened by the truth. And he doesn't want to do that, probably for me or other of his clients. He has other clients also, I assume, and he doesn't want to tell the truth for me or other of his clients. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
There you go. And the president also said today, responding to Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, about the state of the Democratic Party. Cut 16.
It's really a shame what's happening with the Democrats. They've become radicalized. They don't want to see crime stop, which we can very easily do on the southern border. And it really is a shame what's happening with the Democrats. This will go on for a while. Ultimately, the American people will have their way because they want to see no crime. They want to see what we're doing. Like today, we lowered prescription drug prices first time in 50 years. They want to see that. The Democrats would never have been able to do that. So we're all working very hard. We'll have to respond to it. We'll respond to it in a timely manner. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right. And the vampiric one today addressing the president directly. 21.
Because better. Isn't it in the public domain?
Start over. 21.
You saw the letter. Isn't it in the public domain? Read the letter.
Why not?
Read my letter.
Why not fight them on that day?
Because government is closed. We have said very clearly from the start. When I wrote to him the second time to say, since government is shut down, let's work together on a mutually agreeable date, and we can welcome you to the Capitol to deliver the State of the Union address. Government is still shut down. I still make the offer. Let's work on a mutually agreeable date, as the original date was mutually agreeable, so that we can welcome him properly.
What happens if he shows up on the 29th?
Thank you all. What happens if he comes to the Capitol?
I'll have him arrested by the sergeant at arms who will go out there. Yeah! Well, that is the Speaker of the House today. She also discussed the shutdown a little bit more. And speaking of the Conference of Mayors and to the Republicans, she gave some advice to the Republicans. Cut 20.
To the Republicans in the crowd, I say, take back your party,
nah.
The grand old party.
Nah.
America needs a strong Republican party. Not a rubber stamp.
There you go, kids. That's your advice of the day today. Take back the blood bank. The president could, of course, he could call Congress into session if he wanted to. The problem, though, is that the speaker could adjourn Congress. And then if he does that, then you get into a situation where he could then call it back in a session. And she could adjourn it again. And he could call it back in a session. It's nonsense. And I think the president wants to avoid that nonsense, is my sense of it. That's why I think the president, wisely, is not going to play that little game. He doesn't need to look like he's on Nancy Pelosi's level. He doesn't need to look like that. He doesn't need to show up at the House. He didn't do any of that stuff. He could just do it someplace else. Just do it someplace else. And I think he probably will. Chris Matthews, white guy, he white-splained about California Senator Kamala Harris, right? And one of the whitest men in the world, Chris Matthews, about an African-American senator from California, cut four.
Let me go to Jamal. I've got to go to Jamal on this for obvious reasons. But I get the feeling that she's going to set up her headquarters in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Largely African-American town.
Yeah.
She's.
Let me ask the black guy this question. For obvious reasons, because you're black, too, so you can talk black people things.
He definitely asked him that.
Yeah. Let me go to the black guy here for obvious reasons, because he's black. Let me go to Jamal. Obvious reasons.
It's so racist.
So, It's amazing that nobody calls him out for this. Amazing.
Let me go to Jamal. I've got to go to Jamal on this for obvious reasons. But yeah. I get the feeling that she's going to set up her headquarters in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Largely African-American town.
Yeah. I don't understand that.
I'll explain.
I don't understand why she's in Baltimore. She's from Oakland. So she should be in Oakland.
She wants to win the South Carolina primary. That's what I do.
So put a headquarters in South Carolina. I think that she's got a lot of strengths here. She's got a bio. She's got a record. She's a prosecutor with a heart. She's done a lot to deal with keeping people out of recidivism.
Is she seen as African-American?
Is the organization that she put?
Hang on a second. As a white guy, I got to ask, do you black people think she's one of your own? Listen, if she walked into a black restaurant, would you serve her? Huh? I don't go into those places, Jamal, so I'm asking you. Let me know.
Keeping people out of recidivism.
Is she seen as African-American?
Is the organization that she pulls up? Yeah, I think she's seen as African-American. The fact she's
is she black enough for you, Jamal? I'm asking you because, obviously, you're black, so... It's probably the most racist thing I've heard in years. All right, Dawn.
Yes.
Cracks in border wall resistance. Pelosi facing Dem pressure to deal with Trump and end shutdown from Fox News. Democrat leaders in Congress say they have no interest in making a deal with President Trump. But cracks within the Trump resistance are starting to show. Democrat lawmakers and influential liberal opinion makers are imploring House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, and Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer, Count Chuckula, to meet with Trump regarding the border wall. Some are even arguing they should agree to the border wall funds. Minnesota Democratic Representative Colin Peterson said on a local radio show yesterday, quote, "Give Trump the money. I'd give him the whole thing and put strings on it so you can make sure he puts the wall where it needs to be. Why are we fighting over this? We're going to build that wall anyway at some time." Michigan Democrat Elisa Slotkin told a local news outlet that Democrat leaders need to, quote, "get in the damn room because the issue will not resolve itself." She said she's absolutely willing to work on negotiating a deal involving border security. And there you go. A number of other people. But, and this is the problem here, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who leads the lefty left of the left, she and others are saying absolutely not. The wall's racist and she will not deal with it. And they are, of course, holding the Democratic Party absolutely hostage. Some centrist Democrats, led by Representative Elaine Laura of Virginia, are encouraging Pelosi to respond to Trump's offer with a counterproposal. But they want them to deal. That is the latest here. Walter Isaacson, Dems should take the deal. DACA, most important moral issue, will inevitably stay in place. His base will rebel against him. The border wall funding will never lead to a real wall. Steel fences and a few more locations, not that bad a thing for the U.S. or for Dems. That was an opinion by Walter Isaacson at the Washington Post. You know, that's what the funny part about this is that Democrats could give them the money, and then that doesn't mean the wall happens. The fact that they're not even doing that says a lot. As I pointed out to you, they're just so petrified of the base. They're so petrified of their base. Crazy. Crazy. They could give the money. It doesn't mean a shovel's ever going to go on the ground. Court cases, eminent domain, all kinds of other issues. The fact that they're not, the fact that the DACA deal, there's also a rumor that they're considering even green cards for some of the DACA kids, who are now all adults, of course. Yeah, makes Ann Coulter very upset, and others. So that point about Trump's base, who knows, right? The fact that the Democrats won't even deal on this says a lot right now about where they are. Okay. Can we just hear Chris Matthews one more time? Because I really love that audio of the day. That was really phenomenal to me.
You just get
Jamal. How does he not get called out for this? Can you explain that to me? How does he get away with this?
Let me go to Jamal. I've got to go to Jamal on this for obvious reasons. But I get the feeling that she's going to have to set up
and that uncomfortable laugh by Jamal.
Poor Jamal. I had
obvious reasons because you're a black guy.
Look, it's
Let me go to Jamal. I've got to go to Jamal on this for obvious reasons. But I get the feeling that she's going to have to set up her headquarters.
So awkward,
in
right?
Baltimore,
yes.
Largely African American town.
Yeah.
I actually feel sorry for Jamal right now.
Me too. I mean, like.
It's,
obviously, and listen, by the way, Jamal, if you ever ask a white question, ask a white guy. You better go to a white guy. Just a little broadcaster tip for you, Jamal. Ah.
This is... And that the question is Kamala Harris seen as an African American?
Yeah. Play that question again. I love that. Jamal tries to talk over him to save Chris Matthews from looking like a racist jackass. Right. But Chris Matthews can't help himself. He keeps.
She is. She's got a bio. She's got a record. She's a prosecutor with a heart. She's had a lot to deal with keeping people out of recidivism.
Is she seen as African American? Is she seen as African American?
Is the organization that she puts
Dude, he's trying to help you. He's trying to help you.
He barreled through it.
Right. He's barreling through it for a reason. Listen.
Keeping people out of recidivism.
Is she seen as African American? Is she seen as African American?
Don't talk over me when I'm white explaining.
Yes, I think she's seen as African American.
I'm asking a racist question here. Let me white explain. Don't you talk over me.
Oh my God.
Jamal, how dare you? This is amazing.
It is.
It'd be like the equivalent of Jamal and a white person on the panel. I'm going to talk about a white woman now. So let me turn to you, whoever, for obvious reasons, because you're a white woman. I don't want to ask the black guy about a white woman. How is this amazing? I am stuck. I have nothing to say. I can't even. I'm speechless, Dawn. I'm actually speechless right now.
Did you break dance?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Let me ask you this question. If I went to a rib joint.
Oh, my God.
Would I see her there?
Jamal, I'm asking you. I don't go into those places for obvious reasons, right? Am I right? Am I right, Jamal? Am I right? MSNBC, the crap that they get away with over there.
I know.
Right?
Right?
Him and Jamal. I got to get Jamal on this for obvious reasons.
Obvious reasons.
Can you imagine if Zioli said that or somebody on Fox News did the exact same thing?
Let me turn to the white blonde girl for obvious reasons, because Jamal, I don't want you commenting. Stay in your lane. Yes. All right. Let's do it, Greg.
Oh, my God. I'm going to give it to Problem Pansia. She says, I think instead of the State of the Union address, they need to broadcast the SmackDown match between Dawn Sandlin and the irresponsible chaperones. I think that's
outstanding.
That's
outstanding. Yeah. Dawn wants to kick some chaperone ass and that's going to be good thing.
I just think they need some enlightenment.
Yes.
That's all. Enlightenment.
Absolutely. And you can give them all fur coats from Flemington Furs once they take your class, class.
Look at you.
Thank you, Flemington Furs, for sponsoring Who on Twitter. We appreciate it. Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like.
Racioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.